Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Now the Spirit explicitly says that in a later time some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods that God created to be received with gratitude for those who believe and know the truth. For everything was created by God and is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, since it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you for your instructions that have lasted these years. Thank you for what they may speak to us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bring clarity to our minds where there is confusion, and that you would form our hearts together as we seek to be your body. We pray that you would teach us this morning by your Spirit. Amen. All right, so Timothy is being instructed by Paul, and one of the things he's writing about is false teachers. And it was a big deal then. And I used to think when I was a kid, I didn't know a whole lot, right? I still don't know a whole lot, but I know a little more than I did then. But it used to be in my brain, I would hear things like this. There's lots of teaching in Scripture, right, about false teachers. Generally, when we think about false teacher, I mean, maybe I'm weird in this regard, but maybe you agree with me. When I would think of false teachers, I would generally think of Revelation or some kind of end times thing. I don't know why. It probably had to do with the denomination I grew up in, maybe. There was a big emphasis on end times theology where I grew up, so that could be the reason why my brain goes there. But Paul was dealing with this, and Timothy were dealing with this in the church. But I used to think, okay, this was something that was like 2,000 years ago or like at the end of times when the great deceiver deceives, you know, people, and there's the separation and the whole thing, whatever the theology that we were kind of taught about that end times thing, that my brain would go to one of those two places, but not really in the church today. But Paul, for Paul and his crew, they were definitely dealt with it in the church. And it wasn't always, sometimes it was people trying to get their own fame, fortune, get their own whatever. Sometimes it was just innocent. It's like there's this new thing and the people haven't understood it and they don't. I mean, they were just promised this Messiah, right? But he comes like they didn't expect, and then he dies, and they certainly didn't expect that the Messiah would die. But then he raises again, and he gives some instruction, but not everybody saw him. And so now they're having to take people's words for it. And you can imagine that for the Jewish believer who does believe this, they're just scrambling, trying to. And so there were things that came out of there that were false teachings that the church had to deal with, but it wasn't because someone was trying to manipulate or lead people astray. They were, you know, being sincere, and they needed the correction. That's what Paul talks about. Here's some things that we need to correct in the church sometimes. And there's reasons for that. And it's not always, when we think of church correction, we always think of like the main leaders falling into some sort of money or sex or drug scandal. And it wasn't like that for them always. Sometimes it was just, hey, this is wrong and you're teaching this wrong, but we need you to know that so that we don't continue to do this. And there was a lot of love behind it. Then there was characters like Hymenaeus and Alexander who were not that. They were trying to get people away from it. And let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. It could have been from benevolent reasons as well. They really believe this, and they're like, no, we got to, but that's where submission to the elders comes into play, right? That seems to be where Hymenaeus and Alexander made their mistake. Now, we'll get back to Hymenaeus again in 2 Timothy. But there's lots of ways that this happens. But I always thought, okay, this is like a problem for the early church because of these reasons, and it'll be a problem at the end of days. But really, in the broader church sense, it's not really an issue. It's more like that's in my brain, just kind of where I went. And so that's what Paul was talking about. So there's these false teachers. And here's the deal. Their hearts have been seared. That phrase always kind of stood out to me. That's interesting. Now, we're not stopping there with the false teachers. If you disagree with what I said, just hang tight. Now, the Spirit explicitly says, in a later time, some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. What does that mean, to have your conscience seared? Have you ever seen a kid whose demeanor or attitude or the way they react to something is seared to certain things, like yelling? They got yelled at so much, it's not an effect, right? Or profanity. It's almost like it's a resistive barrier. Like now their hearts are seared and that doesn't bother them anymore. Paul's kind of saying like, the Spirit's not penetrating this person because now their hearts have become seared to the lie that they believed. Yesterday, one of the things I like to do is I like to grill out. Yesterday, I went to our friend next door to the butcher shop, got some nice ribeyes, smoked them on the smoker for like 2 hours, and then what do you think I did with them after that? I seared them. Why? Keep all that juice inside. And it worked perfectly. You should all be jealous. It worked perfectly. But Paul's saying that's what happens to these individuals' hearts. This is not a person who innocently, right? Who innocently is just kind of teaching something they're really passionate and maybe they just miss something and the church corrects them and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't have a clue, but thank you for putting me on the right path. These are people whose hearts got seared to that. Now when the church comes in with correction, they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And they didn't have the pliability that was needed. What I've come to realize over the last probably 10 years is that false teachers are in the church today. And we've seen it more pronounced over the last probably 5 or 6 years. There are people who have, and it's been a slow ride. A lot of you have been around for the entire thing. There are people who have decided it was a great idea to marry politics and religion. And it's become so blurred that some people can't see the difference any longer. I'm not one for political things. I try to never bring that to the church. For the main reason that the church I grew up in was the exact opposite. And I didn't necessarily enjoy it. And let me just tell you, that's wrong. That's absolutely a false teaching. There's absolutely nothing wrong with our country. The problem is people now, we have created a society in such a way, and it's not just with this issue, it's with every issue, that if you disagree with somebody on one little point, you are now the enemy. And everything you say is wrong and no good. And I'm going to fight you on everything. So hear this. Just because what I'm saying may rub against you a bit, I love America. It's been a great country. I appreciate immensely the men and women who have fought and died for our country. I love the freedoms we have. I love the fact that I can drive in on good roads, most of them, freely to a church on Sunday morning without fear and without worry. I remember when I went to the Himalayas in 1999, the trail that we were going on, where there were villages that hadn't heard of Jesus, 4 believers had been beheaded just 6 months earlier on the same path. That was the only time in my life I've ever been in a situation where it's like, I don't know how this works out, you know? We'll see. Yeah, well, I take that back. I also smuggled Bibles one time into China, and that was also tenuous in its own right. There's some stories that come out of that I'll tell you guys at some point maybe that were hilarious and scary, but, you know, we laugh on this end because the scary part was so short that now it's mostly just, can't believe we did that and got away with it. I didn't have to have those fears or worries when I drove into it. And I love that. But when we have people in the church who are joining religion and politics, that is a false religion. This morning, this week, I heard a guy who was a worship pastor in a video praising security he had at some event that he was doing that were very violent against other people. And he was using scripture to... And there's no scripture that does that, right? I mean, we can go to the Old Testament and we'll see, like, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. We go through all that. And then we get to... Then the problem hits and Jesus is born. And then he starts talking and you're like, oh, that throws all my plans out the window. You've heard it say... But I'm telling you, this is how it is in the gospel. This is how it is in the kingdom of God. And it's like, oh, the other was so much better. I could get vengeance. I could take things into my own hands. I could do it. And Jesus said, here's what I'm telling you. And now the reason we're bringing this up is because this is kind of what Paul's telling Timothy. There's just false teachers in the church, and you need to be aware of it. Now, I've named one. Let me just tell you, there's more than just one false teacher in the church. And so it is very important that all of us, not just the person who stands up here on Sunday or the people who lead us in songs on Sunday and put their feet on this carpet, right? It's for all of us to pray, to read scripture, to open up God's word, and hear from the Holy Spirit. It's on all of us to do that. One of the things that as a Bible study here on Sunday, on Tuesday nights with the men, one of the things that we kind of went through a study unintentionally with a book, and one of the things that came out of it was saying it's not really good for 4 people in the church to do everything. It's not good. Or to do all the leadership part of it. On a worship thing. It's like it needs to be the whole church. So one thing we started doing was saying, hey, well, instead of talking about the scripture that we did the previous Sunday and kind of rehashing some things that came out of that, what if we started talking about the scripture we're going to do? So now there's multiple people in the church giving input into the messages each Sunday and not just one person. That's just one little step, but that's kind of a direction we're going because that helps the body. That helps the body to not fall into things where, you know, we're just taking one person's opinion and trusting it as gospel. But everybody has some input. Everybody, the Spirit speaks to all of us differently. And so one of the things that we're trying to do to kind of prevent some of these things that this church is dealing with is like, hey, let's get more input. Let's get more people into the worship service. Because I strongly feel that each person in this room has something to give on Sunday morning, more than just filling a seat or an offering basket or the air with your voices while you sing songs other people lead. I mean, I strongly think that everybody in this room is capable and should be contributing on Sunday morning in some way. And I think the onus is on us to figure out what that looks like. I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but there we went. All right, back to false teachers. So this is what Timothy's dealing with. And this is what Paul realizes Timothy's dealing with. He said, hey, be careful. There's these people who have bought into this lie for so long, their hearts have become seared to the truth of the gospel. They've become hypocrites who have led people astray, who have led people away from the gospel, who have told people there is another way to salvation. How many times have you heard so-and-so or this thing or this person or this, you know, political party or this news network or this, you know, belief system is what's going to save America? Anybody heard that? I have. From every side of the political spectrum, every side of the media spectrum, you've heard that. This is the thing that's going to save it. Let me tell you, if you're in a church that tells you anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that's going to save us, you're buying into a false teaching. And that's what we have to be careful of as a church, to not sell snake oil to other people to say, hey, this is what's going to save you, this plus the gospel. This is what Paul was dealing with Timothy. Paul also was dealing with this with the Galatians. And Paul's whole book to the Galatians was, there is nothing that you can add to Jesus Christ that's going to enhance it. It is simply the gospel. As I've been reading through Scripture, you don't have to show your hands, but I've heard some of you guys tell me about your reading this year. So I hope it's still going well. So as we're reading Scripture at the beginning of the year, we encouraged everybody to read through the Bible this year. And I kind of told you how many books it would be, chapters it would be every day if we started in January. It's like 4 or 5 to read it through in a year. And highlighting God's promises. And the stark thing to me at the beginning was, God's promises weren't always like the happy good ones, right? Sometimes God's promises was, if you don't do this, then it's going to go badly for you. But some of God's promises were those ones that we love, like, you know, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to, you know, I knew you before you were born. I had a plan for you. Like, we love those things. But it's been good to go through this thing and see all the promises that God has made to us through Scripture. And let me tell you that that act of reading Scripture daily, whether you're reading the same thing I'm reading, whether you're going through it front to back or back to front, whether you're just reading your own stuff every day, it does not matter. What matters is that we get in God's Word and allow His Holy Spirit to teach us, because if God is teaching all of us, that's one way to keep the false teachers at bay. Because what will happen, I promise you, is as we start reading Scripture, it will challenge the fleshly notions that we have. It happens to me every day when I read, because I have those things in my brain. It's like, man, this is how I want it to be. And then Scripture says, nope. This is what is happening right now to this church in Ephesus. So we have false teachers today whose hearts have been seared to the penetration of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about good teachers. We'll kind of get off this bummer of a subject and talk about good teachers. But you know how they teach bankers to notice counterfeit money? It's not give them a counterfeit bill and just say, hey, study this and here's all the characteristics of it. And it's by feel. You handle so much of the real thing that it becomes obvious when it's fake. And that's what Paul's real encouragement is that we'll see next week, is here's the good things. Here's what we want to know. Here's what Jesus is. You know Jesus so well. You know the good teacher so well. Then when a false teacher comes in, you'd be like, God, that's false. Doesn't make that person a bad person. Sometimes they just need some correction. But Paul is warning Timothy against those ones whose hearts have been seared. But he goes on. He said, here's the trouble with these people. They're starting to block you from doing everything. They're hypocrites, liars whose consciences are seared. They forbid marriage, demand abstinence from fools that they demand abstinence from foods that God created to be received with gratitude by those who believe and know the truth. Paul's saying they're actually adding things to the gospel. They're saying Jesus Christ is so good, He died for your sins, but you also need, on top of that, to abstain from getting married and abstain from certain foods. So it's the gospel of Jesus plus this abstinence that's going to give you what you need. It's going to give you that salvation. It's the gospel of Jesus plus belief in my system. Whatever you, we can add that in, right? Theirs was this thing with food. Ours today, I've seen it manifest itself in much different ways. Paul has come over his years to the realization of verse 5. And verse 5 says, or 4 and 5, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, since it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. Thanksgiving, coupling with the word of God, affirms the goodness of creation, and with grateful prayer, that's the key to all of it. Paul's saying that God is good. He has given us good things to be enjoyed. One of my favorite times of the year is coming up. It's fall. The air gets a bit cooler, which is nice. Football's on TV, which is nicer to me. Heather's family would disagree. But I just love it. I love being able to get out. Told you I like grilling out. I like to be able to get out. I get up every Saturday morning. I go out on my back patio and I cook breakfast outside for the kids. I love it. I'm going to love it even more in about 2 months when it's cool out there. Yesterday I was sweating by 8:30. It was ridiculous. But God's given us that time, right? Some of you are into music. I am a music person. I love music. I have tons of actual records still. They're making them again, by the way. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of CDs that I've digitized. My library of music fills up my phone. I love it. And I can listen to something and close my eyes and it takes me away to a different place. Some of you are that way about visual art, right? Some of you are that way about time spent with your family or your spouse or your loved ones. It's not to say that those who like music and art don't love our families too, but everybody has that thing that gives them passion, that they love. And Paul's saying, there is none of that that's bad. Where does it get wonky? Where does it get a little out of hand? It's when that becomes the good thing in and of itself. Paul's saying nothing is good, nothing is bad if it's received with gratitude, if it's consecrated, are sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. The problem can be when we begin to worship those things, right? The pagan religion is basically a religion that's, modern paganism is basically a religion that's built upon worship of nature. There's nothing wrong with nature. How did Paul put it in another place? They've come to worship the created one instead of the creator. And that's what we do when we can put art or music or whatever it is without that. Same with food and with marriage. It's to be received with gratitude, thanking the one who gave it to us. And if so, have at it. There are a lot of people who have used this as a way to justify things, however. And Paul is aware of that. So how does Paul put it earlier in some of his earlier writings? He said, all things are good, but not all things are wise. Not, like everything in the gospel, we have permission, that permission from God. It's good, I've created it. There's nothing that you see that I did not create. And it's all good, right? Paul's flashing back to Genesis 1. God sat back, and what did he say? It's good, every bit of it. Think about all the destructive ways that people have used certain plants. Fermented certain things and abused it. But God sat back and said, hey, this is all good. Paul realizes there's nothing that God, Paul has come to realize. Paul grew up a Jewish man, and there was, if you're a good Jewish boy or girl, you've read Leviticus and you know what's off limits. So that's where Paul came from. Paul has come to the realization through the Holy Spirit that everything is good. There's nothing that God has created that is not clean, which was not where Paul started his life. But Paul also realizes that like everything else in the gospel, we have permission, but it's not always the best. And God is constantly calling us to this place. This was a thing that Jesus did, that Jesus modeled. He came to a world, he left perfection and came down here to basically tell us, you've heard it said, but I'm telling you this. This is good, but I'm letting you know that some things can lead people astray. Paul goes through a lot of teaching to the church. This, it could be different because this was a personal letter to Timothy that we get to look over his shoulder and see. But Paul spent a lot of time talking to churches about, hey, if this is causing your brother to sin, man, I would rather do anything than call it. I would rather never eat meat again than to cause my brother to sin. I'd rather never enjoy music again than to cause my brother to sin. I'd rather never do whatever it is I love that I know that God has created to be good if it's going to cause my brother to sin. But that's not dogma. That's Paul saying, hey, you've got to use your brain. You've got to use the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You have to know what's going on. What the false teachers of that day were doing, and if we break it down, that's what the false teachers of today are doing, are saying, hey, this is a set dogma, follow it. Do this, don't do that. Give 10%, volunteer your time at church, come at least 3 times a month, and that's discipleship. And Paul's saying, man, discipleship is about hearing from the Holy Spirit yourself. Always go back to Philippians 2. But Paul didn't say salvation is this. What did Paul say? Work out your faith with fear and trembling. If you want real discipleship, you have to know the Word of God. You have to know the Creator and follow and listen to His voice. The church is there to help discernment, for sure. God's given us each other to be able to discern things from. And so Paul's writing this warning to Timothy and saying, hey, there are those who are trying to create this dogma. And honestly, if we look at it on the surface, it's probably not bad, right? Like we could look at it on the surface and say there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, they're just trying to lead people to Jesus and just say, hey, abstain from these foods. And it was generally food sacrificed to idols or animals that were kind of parasitic in nature that ate other animals or, you know, weren't the healthiest of animals, right? Pigs are wallowing in their own everything. Don't eat them. That's probably, I mean, I love pig, but I mean, I get why that was a thing back then. But if marriage, what they're saying is not bad. It's like, follow Jesus, do these things, abstain from marriage, and don't eat certain things. That's not horrible. But what it was doing was it was stripping the power away from the cross. It's basically saying the cross was not good enough to save you. You need these extra steps. And that's what Paul is railing against. Paul's saying you don't need anything extra. You don't need any book, right? You don't need, we'll do book studies around here sometimes. That's okay. We don't need that. It's not the gospel. It sometimes can give us enlightenment. It can sometimes make us ask good questions. But it's not the gospel. It is not scripture. It is not, it's just helpful sometimes. When we can take helpful tools and make them gods, that's now when Paul comes in and says, quit it, you're a false teacher. Those things aren't bad. Paul even said it, right? He said, I wish that everybody could abstain from marriage because it is easier. But if you can't, here's some instruction. Paul didn't make a dogma about it. Paul just said, hey, this it can be helpful in certain ways, and here's how. But that's not what God's calling everybody to, so it's okay. And that's what we struggle with sometimes, is being able to say, this is what God is calling me to, and maybe not be what God is calling you to. And so we have false teachers all around us in every facet of society that's trying to tell us this is the way to salvation. And this book here is saying there's only one way, and there's nothing at all that you can add to it that's going to make it more right. But if you love your brother and your sister, if you love others like Christ has called us to sacrificially, that means we also have to acknowledge that everything's good, but maybe not everything's wise. And so we live in this tension. And Paul's encouragement to Timothy, as he is this young guy who's pastoring this church and Paul's mentoring him, he's letting them know this. He's like, there are people whose hearts have been so seared to the Holy Spirit, they cannot hear what he's saying. Don't be that. No, everything is good. If it's received with thanksgiving, sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. And so this week we can leave with freedom from this place knowing that everything is good if received with thanksgiving, sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And sometimes when we start diving down that road, we'll get word from the Holy Spirit that, hey, it's good. This isn't bad in and of itself, but it's not what you need to be doing. Right? So we have to be sensitive to that without creating dogma around that. That's where it gets hard for us. So this week, keep your ears open to where people may be trying to be false teachers. It's like when I teach my kids about music, about movies and TV shows, if there's something that's questionable, well, my mom and dad's idea was just rip it away, right? Just don't do it. Just throw it out. And I'm not saying theirs was right or wrong, but here's the approach I'm taking. What is this thing telling you? It's okay to listen to this song, but what's it telling you? Is that what you want to listen to? Is that what you want to hear? Be cognizant of what this TV show or what this movie is telling you. And the same, I'm encouraging us this week as we listen to things around us, because none of us are immune from, I mean, unless you just walk around all day with your ears closed. There's messages to us all the time, marketing messages and everything else, saying, hey, this is what you need to have a satisfied life. Know the message that someone's giving you and be teachers you've allowed into your life by accident. Remove them. Or at least become aware of what they're telling you and how it is and how it is against the gospel of Christ, because there is nothing that's going to save you, our country, our world, except for Jesus. And there's nothing we can add to that that's going to make it any better. Let's pray. God, we are thankful that you are all that we need. And God, we acknowledge that it is hard. The road to the discipleship is tough. We would personally rather have you tell us exactly what to do and just have a checklist of things that each of us have to do. Because it's hard deciphering what your Spirit's telling us. And maybe seeing other people do something different because you're telling them something different, and now we're trying to justify. And it gets difficult and it gets hard. But God, I'm thankful that you have given us freedom in your Son. I pray that we don't use that freedom for our own satisfaction, but like you modeled for us, may we lay down our life for others. be obedient in ways that maybe we personally pick a different way. But God, our job in discipleship is to fully submit to you. And so God, would you give us wisdom as we desire to know what it is you're calling us to? Would you give us boldness to do it? Would you give us ears to hear where people are telling us false things that don't sync up with what you're telling us? God, through your Holy Spirit, would you convict us? Would you help us to sense your presence? Would you help us to feel and know your love? Give us peace. We love you, God, in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.